My name is Scott Challoner and you are listening to the Leaders Council podcast for the people who run the country and the people who keep the country running. As regular listeners to the show will know, part of our mission here at the Leaders Council is to bring you a variety of distinct perspectives on leadership. And today that mission takes us to Leominster, Herefordshire, where we're speaking to Anita Harvey, foot health practitioner and specialist nurse at Dishley Foot Clinic. Anita, very warm welcome to yourself, and by all means, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure having you alongside us, Anita. So this is your own clinic, isn't it, that you established in 2012, I believe I'm correct in saying. So just to
So just to
sort of set the context for those listeners that might not be familiar with yourself, did you realise sort of quite early on in your career that going and establishing your own practice was therefore going to be the way for you?
I've been a registered nurse for many, many years, and not many nurses look at becoming self-employed. It's not something that particularly you're ever taught about or is spoken about. At that point, something happened to my health, and it was the first time it appealed to me, and I thought, actually, I wouldn't be having quite the problems I'm having if I could manipulate the hours I'm working and just sort of, be in control of my working destiny a little bit more. And that was the first time it occurred to me that I could actually be self-employed.
Yeah, and I suppose with your nursing background as well, that kind of probably helped you realise that I've actually got the skills to, you know, go and pull this off. I suppose that experience really helped in that respect.
I think that's right. I think a lot of sort of services that people train for and work within, you don't realise the skills that you've actually gained doing that. And as I've been a senior nurse for many years, but also got management experience and a variety of skills that when we sort of sat down, because I was forced with my health to look at how I might work in the future, I wrote down sort of everything that I could do, and I thought, actually, I've got a really good sort of background of skills here that I could do something with, and also had a vision of how I could bridge some of the gaps that I saw in healthcare, that I was frustrated that nobody else was offering these services locally at that point. And there were things I wanted to do that I couldn't do within my sort of NHS remit or when I was working as a nurse within a doctor's surgery. They were outside of the scope of practice, but I was very aware I had the skills to offer those, and that was when we started looking, myself and my husband, at self-employment for me.
Yeah, fantastic, and it seems to have gone incredibly well, but I imagine that that's not come without its challenges, particularly in the context of the last couple of years with the emergence of the COVID-19 pandemic. And so often I've had business leaders coming onto the programme to talk about how that's affected them, how they've overcome that. For yourself, yeah. Anita, obviously, of course, you with your own health were sort of within the high risk group as well. So I can imagine that the operational challenge of kind of trying to run your business and also balancing that side of risk was also quite challenging.
It was very challenging, actually. And to be honest, I hadn't really thought about myself being high risk because all of this came on very quickly. And I was talking to somebody one day about how we were sort of, on a forum about working over the next few months when it started in the March. And it suddenly occurred to me I was one of those people who should be isolating, but equally had a responsibility. And I've always taken that responsibility in healthcare very seriously. I felt I was very aware there were a lot of vulnerable people relying on me. And so it was very much a time of sort of thinking about what I could offer, and also still be responsible for my own health and to look after myself for my family. I didn't want them to think, oh, well, you know, mum died during the pandemic and I wish she hadn't gone to work. So there were a lot of emotional challenges as well within that decision-making process.
Yeah, absolutely. And because obviously we've become a lot more aware of sort of our anxieties, our mental health, certainly as a result of the pandemic. How did you go about sort of managing that side of things, that sort of stress and anxiety, both sort of coming from yourself, coming from your family members, but I imagine also from some of those colleagues and patients that you work with as well?
Yeah, I think on a personal level, the first 6 weeks were horrendous. And I was thinking, I can't live with this level of stress because we were all in a heightened anxiety state. And then I actually thought, you know what you're doing. You've worked in environments where there's high risk for other diseases. I've worked within hospitals where there's been nasty infection outbreaks, and I've helped manage those outbreaks because I know what I'm doing. I've got my PPE. Luckily, I'd brought some in because we struggled to get hold of PPE, and I had PPE ready, so I was protected in that way. I talked with my own GP and my consultant, and we agreed that if I wanted to carry on, there were certain parameters to put in place, which I adhered to. Made sure I was vaccinated, which thankfully I got vaccinated very quickly, and I'm very grateful for that. And then I spoke to my family about it, and I actually wrote a letter and put it into a drawer should anything happen, just explaining, particularly to my youngest son, that it was a decision I'd made to work because that's who I am. I am a healthcare worker. I have been since I was 16, and my need to help people, I balanced with my own risk, but I still felt very much that people needed to have healthcare professionals. And to be honest, at that point, and not much better since, the access to primary healthcare was quite difficult. And as an experienced district nurse and practice nurse, I think it was very important to be able to help people.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's testament to sort of the incredible dedication that carers have shown during the pandemic. And I think that's something that we've become very, very aware of as well over the last couple of years, that incredible role that the NHS and also other health service providers also play in keeping people healthy, keeping vital services running. And I suppose at a time where in the aftermath of the pandemic, Anita, you know, we're sort of seeing the health and social care sector facing a lot of recruitment shortages and skills shortages. Yeah. I think the goodwill that has been harnessed towards the industry, that change in perception perhaps towards it, we can really take advantage of that, can't we? And really, perhaps if we sort of play our cards right as a country, go about addressing that issue, couldn't we, at this point in time?
I think that we certainly could take that opportunity. You still very much see the rainbow thanking the NHS about, and people still have that feeling of, you know, thank you, you looked after my dad, you looked after my nan. And, you know, we get told all the time, oh, thanks for looking after Dad when I couldn't get to him because, children perhaps weren't allowed to visit their elderly father, but I could go in because at that point we were able to offer healthcare assistance. And I think if we're not careful, then that opportunity will pass us by. We've really got to do something to particularly, I think, recruit new healthcare workers, new nurses, and, you know, consultants sort of in the part of the world I am, in a very rural community, we struggle to recruit doctors. And I think we really have to look at why it is we're not recruiting people. I think there are some, you know, quite obvious things, obviously finance, which I think people expected to be rectified after the pandemic had subsided a little bit. It's still very hard to live on a nurse, student nurse's wage and to work the hours they need to work. So most student nurses also have jobs, which is ridiculous when you think they're working till 10 o'clock at night and being back on shift at 7 o'clock in the morning. But it's not unusual. It's gone on for many years, and people are in great debt when they're training to do these healthcare roles. So that's something we definitely need to look at.
Exactly right. I suppose the government solution for that is through the new sort of health and social care levy, which has been sort of taxed on top of national insurance. There's been a lot of sort of debate about that being the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do given the current climate. But I think it is fair to say, isn't it, that the industry is in need of additional funding, and it has been for a long time. And it's just a case of whether or not this is going to be the right way and generate the right amount of funds for it.
I think that's right. It's, you know, inevitably we are going to have to pay to support an NHS in the future. People like myself, but I would certainly be happy to say, yes, I'd like to see the doctor within the next 2 weeks, and I will pay a £10 fee on the understanding that somebody else who can't pay it is able to access it for free, and other countries do such systems. I think we have to start looking at other ways to fund. And in order to do that, you know, there are some hard decisions that are quite politically unsexy to make. And I think if we don't start funding things better, we're never going to recruit people because you're paying them a basic wage for an extremely arduous job. The days of, you know, Miss Nightingale when it was a vocation have gone. People go into it because it's a career. Mm. It doesn't mean that the sentiments aren't the same. You do not work the hours we work and do the jobs that we do if you don't feel it's inside of you. You just don't. It's not a job you would pick up because you just need some work. But that doesn't mean really that we shouldn't be able to pay our bills and be able to afford a mortgage. It's just not fair. Mm.
I think you're very, very right in saying that, absolutely. And anybody tuning into this should really take heed of that message. And speaking of that, actually, we've talked about sort of some of the lessons that we've learned as a country about sort of the way our health services run that we've sort of seen during the pandemic. Personally, from your perspective, Anita, from your experience of, say, let's say crisis management, if we call it that, over the last couple of years, would you say that you've learned anything from the experience that you've had to go through?
I think I've learned a lot, actually. I think I've learned a lot about myself and certainly a lot about myself within work. I didn't realise that I had perhaps quite the ethos that I have got and the need to help people and to be there to help people. I always nursed and I've always been a carer, but I didn't realise it was quite so hardwired. And also, I think I've learned that at the moment we don't have an adequate primary care setup. We still don't. And that people are dying because they're not getting correct diagnosis quickly enough. And I think I've learned that I feel the need to bridge those gaps. And one person alone cannot do that. So I've started working with other local foot health practitioners and just talking about what we might do if we find somebody needs help and I can't get them because I can't be everywhere. And so I'm working much more with, you know, local practitioners. We tended to work in isolation. So I think a bit more networking has gone on. In that way, I feel much more supportive. I recently had to have knee surgery and was rather than being up for 2 weeks, I was up for 12 weeks as these things happen. And people around me, colleagues around me, were incredibly helpful and helped me support the people that I serve. And I was really grateful for that. So networking is something that I've become, I think, much more aware of and need to take more advantage of and stop working quite in such a solitary way.
Mm. Yeah, and you're not the only one who's come onto the programme in the last couple of years, Anita, and talked about the value of networking really sort of having hit home over the last couple of years. That sort of open communication, that recognition that, you know, we are in sort of a very similar boat here. You're not sort of going through these struggles alone. And like the communities within sort of entrepreneurship, within business, within the healthcare industry, we've really seen that blossom over the last year. And of course, the sort of foot health and podiatry communities really stood up for you during COVID. We've seen even on a much bigger scale, the big pharmaceutical companies actually sharing intellectual material in the sort of mission to get a working vaccine. So that would have been unprecedented before.
I think that's a very good example.
Yeah, exactly right. So we've seen business leaders, often competitors, coming together, sharing ideas just to make sure they can all make it through. And that it's real testament to sort of the ability of industry to work together and that spirit that we really have in this country indeed. And sort of if we look at kind of how we're going to harness that moving forward now into the future now, Anita, just before we do wrap things up, I'd be interested to sort of understand what's next on the horizon for you. As you know, we've sort of gotten out of the acute phase of COVID, we're looking sort of staring deep into this real treatment backlog that we've got there, and we're going to try and sort of cut into that over the next few months and years.
I mean, certainly in terms of my own practice, I am working part-time now, which I had been full-time during COVID. I'd wanted to work part-time, but the reason for doing that is because I'm also then working outside of those hours on other things to help other people. I'm doing a little bit of training with somebody. I'm just trying to look at, I suppose in a way, looking at the next generation. Although I'm only in my 50s, I am aware with my health that I'm slowing down. So looking at helping to share some of my knowledge to train other people is really important to me. I've always really loved teaching and done a fair bit of that over the years. So I think that's really nice to have a little bit of time to do that. And so, yeah, we've got to look at how we can sort of keep some of the good spirit we had during COVID and help to help each other and move things forward. I think in terms of healthcare situation, we've got some lessons that we need to learn from COVID, looking at the amount of people who are presenting late with cancer diagnosis because they haven't been picked up. we need to look at how we rectify that. And at the moment, that's a little bit slow coming through. Still very hard to see a GP. And so that's something I feel quite passionately about and working on a little bit in the background.
Yeah, and hopefully so we see some real progress on that side of things moving forward, because it is so incredibly important that we do rectify that as soon as possible. And I think as we do start to actually see how the situation develops over the next few months, it would actually be really, really useful, I think, Anita, to even welcome you back and catch up on how things are going from your perspective, because I think it's been really enlightening having you join us on the show today to sort of talk about the role that you've had. It's been fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. It's been great.
It certainly has, Anita. And thank you, of course, for giving up your time to join us, because we couldn't do the work that we do without the likes of yourselves coming to us and sort of sharing your authentic story. So many thanks for that. And do, by all means, take care and stay safe with all that's still going on in the world too.
Thank you very much, Scott. Take care. Bye-bye.
It was an immense pleasure, of course, welcoming Anita Harvey from Dishley Foot Clinic in Leominster, Herefordshire, onto today's programme. And I do hope that everybody tuning in thoroughly enjoyed the interview today. And if you are listening in and you feel that you have your own tale of success and innovation to share with us here at the Leaders Council, then by all means, we also want to hear from you. So why not also apply to be on the show via leaderscouncil.co.uk/apply. Until next time, to every single one of our regular listeners, you have been listening to the Leaders Council podcast. Please take care and goodbye.